Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk. I am here at the table. I can't believe this is our last Monday of 2024. Wow. So I'm going to start by just reading what my actual calendar. I have a thought and a Bible verse calendar that was actually given to me a Christmas a year ago that I just read every morning just to be amazed at how the Holy Spirit aligns the thought of the day with what I am needing or what I've been praying for receiving or how it's going to pre-ready me for something that's about to happen. So here's what today says. My family of three moved to our promised land this year, 10 acres with a farmhouse. I can see all this place can be and I want to share it. So I figured God would be saying, let's do this thing, girl, let's get busy. But instead, God whispered to my heart, dwell. I am learning that to dwell feels a lot like art, absorbing colors, making memories, stepping into the picture God is painting, while choosing not to be so worried about framing it up for a presentation. The point of a promised land is to dwell, to allow God to reign, and for the world to see us living differently. Dwelling is a little piece of heaven on earth. And that was written by Stephanie Bryant. And the verse she puts with it is Psalm 27:4. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. So as you go forward from 2024 to 2025, the first question I want to share with you that I've been asking myself is, how am I looking forward to dwelling with God in the year ahead? What holy habits do I have in place, or am I going to put into place to help me dwell with God? So that's just some of the things that I have been reframing for myself as I walk into 2025. I have never and am not one to do like New Year's resolutions. That's just not me. I do like to sit in silence at my table with the Lord and just listen. And in that space of time when I am just listening, He brings to light. And those things that are brought to light, I am sometimes affirmed by Him, like, this is my continued plan and purpose for you. And other things, I know when He brings them to light, it's more like, I want you to surrender these things to me. And sometimes I don't understand why He asks what He asks of me in surrender, but that is not the point. The point is that I obey. So I just want you listeners to stop and ask yourself, how, don't look backwards, not how have I been dwelling. Don't look backwards, look forward. How do I want to dwell with the Lord in the year 2025? And for those of you that are in the Northwest Arkansas area, this spring on site at New Life Church, our women's study, we will be centering in the word peace. And what we are going to offer is an experience of peace. And we will be getting into that more through the month of January and February here on the podcast. So for those of you that aren't within the area and have the ability to come on site with us, we are still going to offer you the thought-provoking questions and some of the resources and some of the information. And of course, we will dive in and center on the word about how we can experience peace. And just as a little preview, the way to experience peace is to experience more of God. So I'm excited for that opportunity in the new year. And so I am going to center this episode on actually a movie that I recently watched. As recently as last night, I watched it. It's called The Forge. And I had seen it had come out a while ago, and I was actually in Houston. In fact, I have my computer pulled up. It was released on August 23rd of 2024. And yes, my husband and I were in Houston when it came out, and I was like, oh, that'd be a good movie to go see. It's put on by the Kendrick Brothers, if you know any of their other movies that they've released, like War Room. Anyway, they do a really good job. So I knew I wanted to see it, but I didn't really know a lot about it. And then, you know, life just happens and time goes by. And so family was all in for Christmas, and we had a wonderful time gathering with family. And my family had left, and I was, you know, cleaning the house, doing the sheets and the towels. And I sat down and I thought, hey, I wonder if The Forge, that movie, like God just brought it back up to my mind. I had not been thinking about it. I thought, I wonder if that's been released now. And so I went to Netflix, and sure enough, there it is, The Forge. And I'm like, okay. I had no intention whatsoever of even in any way relating that to this last Monday podcast of 2024. But I just start watching it, and as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's like exactly where I need to be centered and where I want my listeners to have the ability to center themselves into as we walk into the new year. So I'm like, thank you, God. It's the little things. I hope you realize God is always at work around you, and He's offering you a relationship that's real and personal, and He's going to offer you invitations to get to work with Him if we are just aware and available to see Him and hear Him and read about Him in scriptures. So I'm like, oh my goodness, this was such a blessing for you to re-invite me to this, to watch it, and to align it with where I knew you wanted us to be discussing today. Anyway, if you have not seen it and you have any ability to see The Forge, I would highly recommend it. But I'm just going to speak a little bit about it without giving any of it away. I hate for something to be given away to me before I finish a book or watch a movie. But there's two main characters in the movie. There's a 19-year-old young man named Isaiah Wright. And then there is a owner of a sports equipment company named Joshua Moore. So we're only going to be talking about Joshua Moore, the company owner, and this 19-year-old boy, Isaiah. And in the course of the movie, they meet, and Joshua, the company owner, starts to provide and offer a mentorship role to this young, troubled kid that needs someone to help center him and show him Jesus. So this is just a conversation between Joshua and Isaiah. Joshua says to him, my mother gave me advice once. She said, you need to be more of a fountain than a drain. You need to give more than you are taking. And I thought about that with just this Overwhelming Joy podcast that has come about. And as I speak to people, that is exactly framing what our role as ambassadors of Christ are. As daughters of a King, as children of the Lord, He is asking us to be more of an overflow than to be depleting or taking from others. But as we know, in order to overflow and give more than you are taking, you have to have a resource to give from. So it reminded me of the idea of, if my cup is not full through the reading of the word, through prayer, through community, through going to church, through listening to my pastor, through being in a small group or a community group or a life group to have that support or that circle, then I don't have enough resources for myself, let alone to give. So then I look back at the calendar for today. Is God just asking us to dwell? Which the first word that we studied together in a women's community group was abide. I knew the word he was giving us to just sit in was abide. It was like he was saying, daughters, just abide with me. Get to know me. Have a relationship with me. Fill up your well, which I was reminded of when I read about this dwell today. So he's asking us to just dwell with him because he wants us to have enough resources, first for ourselves and then for others. So then Joshua points Isaiah to the Bible, Galatians 5:13. And I'm just going to read that for you. It says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." So again, he wants us to be out there as disciples of him first, and then to help and disciple others, but we can't do it if we are depleted. So the question I'm asking you is, as you head into 2025, where are you with your well? Are you dry? Do you need to just dwell with the Word of God? Find a community, find a mentor, find a church, and seek him and fill up your well. Is your well halfway full? Do you need to continue in the process of good study habits and join a community group or reach out to somebody for mentorship? What is it that you're still needing to continue the level that you have and also increase it? We're ever increasing it. Or is your well full? Are you in a really good place, in a really good season, and you have your holy habits in place? So then, if you think about it, then are you being a fountain? If you have this full well, how are you sharing it with others? What roles are you playing? What opportunities does God have there? And is he inviting you to work with others, for others? So that's an amazing question to stop and ask yourself. And there's no right answer and there's no wrong answer. It's just, where are you in your relationship with God? Where are you with the amount of water in your well? And then here's another quote that Joshua says to Isaiah. Many people want salvation, but not discipleship. And I thought, ooh, that's good. I actually stopped and paused the movie and I took notes on it. And I wrote that down and I just sat there for a minute in that. Many people want salvation and they come to the point of conversion. They realize they are a sinner. They know that God sent his perfect, blameless son, Jesus, to die for their sins. And they ask him to come into their heart, to be their savior. They want what he is giving them. They want to be cleansed from their sins. They want to walk out a life like Christ. But then they really don't want to be discipled. They don't really know how or have the time for or make it a priority to be discipled. Maybe they don't know how to study the Word of God. Maybe they don't seek out a community group. Maybe they don't want accountability or they haven't had accountability, but we all need that to grow. I think of it as conversion is you realizing you're a sinner and you need Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. It goes into communion with him daily. It goes into conversations with Him. It goes into listening. And it's a commitment. It is a commitment that I'm going to continually strive to seek You and be a disciple of Yours while I am here on this earth. So then Joshua points him in the Bible to Luke 9:23, and he said to all, "If anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Daily. So do you have a practice of whatever it is that needs to remind you that daily you are denying yourself, which is our first human thing, is to think about us. But what do you do on the daily that reminds you of a form of surrendering self to God? One simple little thing that I have done, started about 8 weeks ago, honestly. I was prayerfully considering our Experience Peace Spring Study. There are some women that are actually going through an 8-week pilot study with me just for us to have common feedback on what is making an impact, what more questions, what might they have before we roll it out in the spring. They will be facilitators for small groups. And out of this pre-study, one of the things that the Holy Spirit made me aware of is the idea that I'm not promised anything but today. I'm not promised tomorrow. I don't even know if I have the whole day today. So it just reminded me, am I making the most of the minutes that I do have? And those minutes, it's as important that I am building and deepening my relationship with Him and my understanding and my discernment of the Spirit than anything else. It is first and foremost what I am doing one-on-one in my relationship with God. And then that's how I'm going to be aware of what He is telling me to do, affirming, convicting me of, and how He's asking me to be invited in with His work. But I can't skip the first part. I can't just go to work without having that relationship. So this verse is a verse I had re-come across for myself about that take up my cross daily and follow Him and deny myself. And so one of the things I've just been doing is when I get up in the morning, I've just been saying in prayer, "Lord, I give You this day. This day. I give You this day." Because it helps center me not on yesterday and not on tomorrow, but on today. What is it that You have for me today to learn from You? How am I going to see You? How am I going to hear You? And if You have something You need me to do for You today, for Your kingdom, may I be aware of it. May I perceive it. May I receive it. And may I obey and do it. So sometimes I think the chaos of the world, we can condense it if we just keep our eyes right where we are, but we let it be directed heavenward and not temporal. So when He said that verse, I was like, oh, wow, there that is again. I give You today. I surrender myself and I give You today. So here's another question, thought-provokingly for you. What may He be calling you to deny yourself of? If we're supposed to deny ourselves and take up His cross, what may He be calling you to deny? What may He be asking you to walk into 2025 and leave it behind in 2024? And it can be really simple things. It can be really hard emotional things. One physical thing is in August when I was praying at my table, basically, what do you need me to surrender in a time of prayer and fasting is when I heard Him say sugar. And I was like, what? And if you've listened to podcasts, you've heard me talk about this before. But he literally asked me to give up sugar. And I was a sugar addict. I mean, I loved candy. I wasn't really like cake pie. I just liked candy, like candy. Skittles and Smarties and Sour Punch Kids and Patch Kids and stuff like that. Anyway,
I realized it. I, even though that seemed silly, it was almost like he was saying, am I enough? Would you do that for me? And I was like, yes, I will deny myself that. I will. I don't know why you're asking it of me, but I will. All this time later, of course, it's so much better for my health. But at the moment, it was really like he was just saying, am I enough? Am I enough? Would you do this for me? In other times, he has asked me to deny myself maybe of a position or a location, or, you know, there's many things. And sometimes it was in service, like my husband and I have been in many different roles of service in the past church we were a part of. And sometimes I just remember he was honestly asking us to step away from something that we were almost like leading. And you're like, why would he ever ask you to step away from something like that you were serving? But if you've ever heard me before, I say a good thing is just a good thing. But is it a God thing? So sometimes I think we're busy doing, we're almost masking what he really wants, which is a relationship from us. But we think we're in relationship with him by what we're doing. So stop and ask yourself, like, are you doing so much that you don't have time to just dwell with him? And again, are you doing so much that you're not being discipled? You're just a doer? So then ask him that. Is there an area of your life that it looks great on the outside, but is he saying, I really want you to set that aside, and the time you would have spent on that, spend in prayer, in the word, or get into a Bible study or community group or meet with somebody one-on-one. So Joshua tells Isaiah that there's a cost to following Jesus, but it's 100% worth it. So Isaiah goes home and he starts praying, like, is there something you're asking me to give up for you? And I won't tell you about what it is that God asks him to give up. But then in the movie, he also points to Hebrews 11:6. Often, okay, so we've asked Jesus Christ into our heart and we're reading our Bible and we're praying and we're going to church. Maybe we're in a Bible study, community group, whatever. Things are grooving. Maybe you're being mentored. And then it seems like everything just hits. It's just hard. There's so much going on. You're like, why is all of this happening all of a sudden? There is a point in every season, and there will always be times when it's like you've been brought to a crisis. It's like a crisis of belief. And Hebrews 11:6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It doesn't say it's going to be a gravy train. It doesn't say it's going to be easy. It doesn't say that it's going to be heaven on earth for Christians. It says that you have to believe that God exists and he will reward those who sincerely seek him. So when things get tough, not if, but when things get tough, we have to have faith. And Charles Swindoll says, faith means focusing fully on God. It means believing that he exists, that he does what he says, and that he rewards those who honestly seek him. We are called to screen our lives through the grid of God. Nothing is bigger than he is. Nothing is more powerful or more capable. We are to wholeheartedly place him as our pattern. That's what we were made to do. And only then do we operate at our full potential. Faith is the gasoline on which our spiritual lives run. So back to that well, that we have to be a fountain and not a drain, that we have to be at capacity and over capacity to give. Now we're looking at like a gasoline in a fuel in our spiritual engine. So then ask yourself this question, how's my tank? Am I on empty? Am I running on fumes? I need to pull into the station, the spiritual station. Or, oh yeah, I've got 3/4 of a tank. That's great. But how can you get it to full? Take that 3/4 tank, which is awesome, but let's fill it up. And so you're full. You've just got as much as you possibly can. You can't contain yourself. Then how are you sharing with others? What role are you playing to help someone else and allow them to see God at work in your life and hold your hand out to them and pull them up from maybe a situation they are in? So it reminds us that we must first believe. We have got to believe. And ask yourself, do you believe? Do you believe he'll show up? Do you believe he'll do it? Do you believe he's better and more capable than you thinking it out yourself and finding your own answers or anyone else? And then are you continuing to seek him? If things are going great, still seek him. If things are rocky, still seek him. If things are horrible and deplorable and it can't get any worse, seek him. And God allows gaps in our lives on purpose so we don't try and continue to do life ourselves. He invites us to seek him regardless of our circumstances. So when I have been in a crisis and when I will be in one again, what I now can see and perceive is this is an opportunity. God is teaching me something. God is making and molding me into something even more developed than I was before. He is continuing to make me more Christ-like in this crisis, and it's hard, but it's either humbling me or it's asking me to surrender or sacrifice something. He's wanting to renew me. He wants to allow me to see how good he is, how capable he is, how faithful he is, how he's going to show up every time in abundance. And so ask yourself, are you in a crisis right now? And if so, how is it an invitation to be discipled by him? What is it you need to surrender? What is it that maybe is your biggest distraction right now? What is keeping you from time in the Word and time with a group and time in prayer? What is it that's a distraction that's causing you chaos and not peace? What are you trying to handle that God wants you to give to him and let him hold? What don't you need to carry into 2025? What can you put into the big, big, big hands of God and say, I can't do it anymore. I cannot continue doing this anymore. I can't carry this burden. I don't want to keep laying it down and picking it up. My granddaughter was here for the holidays. And I mean, she's 5 months old. She was 5 months on the 22nd of December. One of her favorite games is basically put down, pick it up, put down, pick it up. She can't even sit up fully on her own. She can't stand up fully on her own, but she loves to be stood up and be held, and she loves to hold something, drop it, and then she bends down and grabs it, picks it back up, holds it, drops it, picks it back up, holds it, drops it. It's a game. How many of us are playing that same game? We're holding our fear, our mistrust. We're holding anxiety, depression. We're holding financial insecurity. We're holding health. And then we drop it and surrender it to God. And we're like, God, take this from me. And then we bend down and pick it back up again. Because maybe we don't think he's answered us quick enough. Or maybe we don't think he has the answer. Or maybe we don't really trust the answer he has. So here we go. We bend back down and say, I'll take that back. I'll hold fear again. I'll hold anxiety. I'll hold my health problems. I'll hold my financial problems. I'll hold my relational issues. I'll hold my job problems. And he's saying, put them down. Let me pick them up and don't take them back from me. Trust me. Do you really trust me? We can choose to trust God. That's the neatest thing about it. He will be there. He is there. The words abide with him. Abiding isn't when we get to heaven. Abiding is not waiting until eternity. Abiding is not only through death that we will get to live with him. We can live with him right now as we have become believers. If we have accepted Jesus Christ into our heart as our personal Savior, he is abiding with us right now in the air around us, in the room you're in. I don't know if you're at the office. I don't know if you're in your car. I don't know if you're at home. I don't know if you're outside. He is there. He is in the air. He's not like in a movie floating up on a cloud in a big white robe far, 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 far away that we'll only see at the end of our life. He is here. The Spirit of God dwells within us. Jesus Christ and God are here. And we can choose to trust God now. We can give him our problems of 2024 now, and he will carry them. And we can dwell in that peace here on earth. His peace. He is the God of peace, the Prince of Peace, the Spirit of Peace. We can choose to trust and live in that peace with him, from him, now. So if you think about, again, the movie The Forge, what does it mean to forge something? It means to make or shape by heating in a fire or hammering with intense pressure. So if you stop and think, our lives as believers, we are being forged. We are being molded and heated by our circumstances and our situations, and we are being hammered against the world and what the world thinks by what we know is right. To forge, it's almost like we have to be armored up. We are being shaped and strengthened. And that leads to Ephesians 6:17. If you look at Ephesians 6:17, it's going to talk about the whole armor of God. And the Word of God is exactly what we need to center ourselves in always, but especially as we go into 2025. The whole armor of God, starting with verse 10 in chapter 6, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints." If you are in a situation and a circumstance where you are depleted, where you're drained, where your tank is empty, and you are carrying something heavy, you need to armor up. And the whole armor of God is at your disposal. And he is waiting and wanting for you to hand up to him and let him carry into 2025 anything that is depleting and distracting you from his joy. Choose joy. Choose joy. Where do you go to find joy in the midst of your circumstances? It's only by centering our lives around Christ that we can experience true joy. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. "Yes, I will rejoice," verse 18. And then if you keep looking on verse 23, I am hard pressed. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary. I am convinced of this. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. This is Paul. He's in prison. And he's saying, you know what? If I had my druthers, I would depart now and just go be with the Lord. But I'm going to stay here because the gospel of Christ is worthy of my life. I'm going to continue humbly, and I'm going to be complete in my joy if it is something that can help someone else. So if you look at chapter 2, that's exactly what he says. So here's my encouragement in Christ. Verse 2, complete my joy of being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. I'm going to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, I'm going to count others more significant than myself. I'm going to put others first. If you keep reading down there, he talks about he's going to deny himself. He's going to extol God so that everyone can hear the name of Jesus and every knee will bow, and that in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, all to the glory of God. And if you stop and think, that is the only reason any of us as believers are on this earth, so that we continue to proclaim the name of Jesus until everyone that hears about him has the opportunity to choose him and confess their sins and ask Jesus to come into their heart. And that we then can disciple and mentor each other collectively as a body of one mind and one spirit to be imitators of God. Imitators of God, lights of the world. That we are not content with our past glories, like, oh, well, 4 years ago I did this, 3 years ago I did this. But that we demonstrate a day-by-day faith. A day-by-day faith. Back to the, I give you this day. I give you this day. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Verse 14, chapter 2 of Philippians, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We should be shining lights that we only can get from our full well, our full tank. Holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. And even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Are you reading the word of God? Do you believe what you read? Are you obeying it? We are not good enough to ever merit God's favor. Rather, God's love and enabling grace will see us through if we just receive it. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 3, verse 17. Join in imitating, keeping our eyes on those who walk according to the example. So that is my thought for the last Monday of 2024. That is where I am centering myself. How do I dwell with the Lord on earth? How is my tank? How am I in discipleship with him? And how am I discipling others? How am I imitating him? How am I keeping my eyes on those who walk by the example? How are they an example for me? And how am I an example for others? Psalm 27:4, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Welcome 2025. Let's go, ladies. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.